Folks, it's good to get to preach the word again. I love that. Thank you all for being here this morning, and glad you're able to be here as well. For those of you who are not able to be here, I'm glad that you're able to be with us with the YouTube and the live stream. So I hope that everything's going well for everybody this morning as we continue our lessons in the book of 2 Timothy this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you want to open your Bibles there, we'll be ready to start in just a second. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. The last time we were together in 2 Timothy was a couple of weeks ago, and when we were here, we were talking about, most recently, being shameless disciples of Christ, ready to preach the Word wherever we have the opportunity, not ashamed to preach or teach the Word of God, always ready to give an answer for the hope that's within us. We talked about being unashamed of the testimony of Christ. We talked about the fact that we are to proclaim the gospel every opportunity we get, that we have been called with a holy calling, that God himself has called us with a holy calling. We talked about the idea that that as we're waiting for immortality, which is to come, we can share the gospel with others through the and bring them hopefully to, with us when we go to heaven to be with God, and that God can save us for eternal. God can save up for us the eternal fruit that we are storing up for ourselves in this earth, as we are storing for ourselves treasures in heaven. We trust God to be able to do that. So that's what we spoke about the last time that we were together. This time we're going to continue on with the book of 2 Timothy, starting in verse 13. This morning we're going to discuss that we are preachers of a sacred word which must be preserved and retained. We are all, each and every one of us, preachers of a sacred word. You may not see yourself as a preacher, but every time you speak the word of Christ, every time you read and give light to the word of Christ again, you become a preacher of that gospel. We have a standard of sound words to which we have to keep and hold firm. So we're going to talk about that standard of sound words this morning. We're going to talk about the fact that we are fellow sharers in the faith and love of Christ Jesus. As we are here together, I think we're showing that love. We demonstrate our love to one another. As we have opportunity to be in the presence of one another, we demonstrate that fellowship that we have with one another. So we're glad to be there. And then finally, we're going to talk about the fact that we have to guard all these things through the indwelling Holy Spirit as a treasure that's been entrusted to each and every one of us. So we'll do that as we continue on. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 is our text this morning. If you would follow along with me as I read. Paul says to Timothy, "Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." That's a very short little passage, but so much fruit in this, so much meat in this verse that we can talk about. Let's start with the idea of retaining the standard of sound words. What is he talking about, retaining the standard of sound words? Let's first of all talk about the word standard here. It's the word hupotuposis. Tuposis. Got to get the inflection in the right place. Hupotuposis. So the idea is, it's a compound word in Greek. It starts with the word hupo, which means under. It's a preposition which means under. And then tupos, which is the model or the pattern or the standard of a thing. So this particular word is found only twice in the whole New Testament, and that's both of them are in letters to Timothy. The first one is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Second one in this verse that we're looking at this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life." So the word example there is this word hupotuposis. So we have that idea of an example, a pattern. Here in the New American Standard, at least, they chose the word standard. So it's a pattern or a standard of sound words that we have been given. So we have a standard of sound words that we have to retain. Now, the idea of tupos is an idea that's used oftentimes in Scripture. For example, in John chapter 20, verse 25, which somehow disappeared off the screen, so I have no idea what it is, but it talks about the standard, if anybody could find that for us and maybe read it real quick. It was on there yesterday. I know it was. I just don't know what happened to it from now to then. But anyway, John chapter 20, verse 25, I think is where Jesus is talking about maintaining the standard of, I don't know. Anyway, I had it yesterday. Do you have it, brother? Can you read it? Thank you. The word tupos in there is the marks, the image of the nails and the image of the imprint of the spear in his side. Thomas says, unless I can put my hands in those imprints, unless I can feel that pattern, that standard of that was left behind by that punching of the nails and the spear, then I won't believe that Jesus is the Christ. And so that's the idea. The idea of tupos is it's a standard. It's an imprint, something that remains. It's most compared to a die being struck. If you're familiar with how money is made, there's a die that has the image that's going to be stamped into that piece of metal, and that's basically the idea of the meaning of the word tupos. It's often used in Scripture many times, though the hupotupos tuposis is only used twice. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 17 for another example of that. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. That form of teaching, tupos, and that's the same word that we're dealing with in the idea of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy as we're looking at it today. We have the idea that we have a standard of sound words that we must maintain, a form of teaching to which we are committed. And that form is very important for us. If we're going to teach just anything we want to teach, then we will not ever be teaching the truth. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, if you will. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Where we, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Here we have the idea of pattern. Paul says to the brethren at Philippi, you need to join in following us. Follow us as we follow Christ. Walk according to the pattern that you have in us, and that us being the apostles of Jesus Christ in that time. And then look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Where Paul says to Timothy at that time, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe, a pattern to follow, a standard to be looked up to. So Timothy was to be that pattern for those folks at that time. We are to maintain that standard of sound words. And so now let's talk about the idea of what is a standard. Well, look at the standard that we're supposed to hold, and that's the standard that Paul presented to Timothy. That was what you've heard from me. So the message that Paul was preaching at that time is the message they were supposed to maintain. The message Paul was speaking at that time was the pattern that they were to maintain. So if we are to maintain the same pattern, we have to know what Paul preached and taught, to know what Christ preached and taught, because he was the example that we need to follow. And then we need to realize that we can only preach and teach what they have said. Paul's preaching was sound, it was complete, it was able to be duplicated, it was necessary for salvation to be complete. If you're going to be saved, you have to follow Paul's example, you have to follow Paul's teachings, you have to do what Paul had to say. The same is true of Christ, because Paul was following Christ. Now, we know, of course, that what Paul was saying was accurate and according to the will of God because of what Peter says about him in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. As he's speaking of Paul, he says that Paul was preaching some things that were sometimes difficult to understand, speaking in them of these things which the untaught and unstable distort. And that continues on to this day. Those who are unstable, those who are willing to distort, will easily distort the Word of God. If they're untaught, they will distort the Word of God. If they're unstable, they'll distort the Word of God. And they do this as they do the rest of the Scriptures, Peter says. So the rest of the Scriptures is everything besides what Paul was writing. Paul was writing Scripture as well. So Peter recognizes that what Paul was saying was Scripture. What Peter was writing was Scripture as well. What Jude wrote was Scripture. What James wrote was Scripture. Those things that have been maintained in the Bible all this time are Scripture. So if we follow that standard, if we hold on to that very sound standard of sound words that have been presented to us in the Word of God, then we'll be okay and we'll stay on track. This gospel message, the standard that we've been given, Paul says, is like a treasure. It's a treasure that we are to retain and to preach. It's a precious treasure which must be carefully guarded. He says to Timothy, you need to guard carefully that which has been entrusted to you. Now look at verse 14 again. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Guard through the Holy Spirit. Guarded through the power of the Holy Spirit is one of the most important things that we're going to learn this morning. The Holy Spirit has chosen to dwell inside each and every one of us. That's God made flesh. God made flesh, went back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit to remain with us from that point on. Spirit who dwells inside our innermost being. And so the Spirit is going to help to guard that which he has entrusted in us, that being the Word of God. How does he do that? Well, he does that through his written word if we will just pay attention to the written word. If we'll be very careful with the written word, we will have only the truth that we ever teach. So how is the gospel a treasure? Well, of course, we understand it is a treasure. The word treasures usually appears in the Scripture, though, is a different word than what Paul chooses to use here. You might be interested to know that the usual word for treasures is the word thesaurus, which is where we get the word thesaurus, all right, which is a treasury of knowledge or a treasury of words. So the word thesaurus is the word for treasure that's usually used. When Jesus says the gospel is a treasure, and when he's preaching, he uses the word thesaurus. In this place, the word is not actually the word treasure, it's just the word kalos, which is the word good. So what basically Paul says to Timothy is, that good thing which was given to you, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us, that good thing which is given to you. So that's a treasure. The good thing was the gospel message that was given to him. So if we want to be literal with this, it's not actually the word treasure, but it's the word good thing or good stuff. And so the gospel is good stuff, folks. It's good stuff that we need to preach to the world. It's good stuff that we need to entrust to only those who can be trusted with it. It's good stuff that we need to guard very carefully with the Holy Spirit that's been entrusted or that's been caused to dwell inside of us. So there are several words that are used here in this passage of Scripture that deal with the idea of the gospel. And we're going to look at those. It's called a pattern or a form, or a standard, right? So the gospel is a pattern or a form that should be followed. It's called sound words, and the word sound there is the word for healthy or wholesome. There's nothing unwholesome about the word of God. It's all wholesome and all good. It'll cause you to be wholesome and good yourself if you follow that word. Then the third thing, it's called a good thing or the treasure. It's obvious how valuable the gospel message is from what Paul has to say here to Timothy in this place. Now, realize, of course, that this is the second letter that he's given to Timothy, and remember also from our earlier teaching that Paul is probably going to go to have his head cut off just any day now. He's writing this letter. It's probably one of the last letters that he ever writes to anybody, and he's writing to Timothy to encourage him, knowing that his time is short on this earth. So he's letting Timothy know that the gospel that he's been entrusted with is a very valuable gospel. And he needs to realize that and needs to hold on to it with all of his might. If only we could understand that today. If only people would understand that and search very carefully through the Word of God to understand the Word of God very carefully today. We have so many upstart churches. We have so many denominations. We have the idea that if I can start a church any way I want to, I'll do that, and I'll believe anything I want to believe, and I'll teach anything I want to teach. Folks, how is that holding to a standard? It's not holding to any standard at all. The only standard you have is your own standard, what you want to preach and teach. But Paul didn't say, Timothy, teach whatever you want to teach. He said, hold to the sound standard of sound words, or the pattern of sound words that you've been given. So we are to preach and teach only those things that God gave us and be very careful about how we do that. So here's Timothy being told, as Paul is about to go to the chopping block, he's being told, you need to pay attention to the Word of God very carefully. Everything that I taught you, hold on to that and guard it, because the Holy Spirit will help you do that, right? So we have to understand that we have a good, strong gospel that we need to hold on to. I'd like to use an illustration to try to help us understand this a little bit better this morning. That is an illustration about painting by numbers. Has anybody ever done a paint by numbers here? All right. I used to do that when I was younger. I don't know. I kind of got away from it. That's the only way that I can do art, by the way, folks. I have no skill at art. I wish I did. I love pencils and paints, and I love the smell of the paints, and I love messing around with brushes, but I cannot paint anything. I can't even paint new age art. I can't even paint anything that looks like anything when I do it. So I just can't do that. I have to paint with words, I guess. But in the meantime, I love to paint. So I used to do paint by numbers. Well, if you follow the paint by numbers, step by step by step, I don't care how unskilled you are, when you get done, you'll have something that looks like something, all right? And I'm pretty unskilled, so... The last one I can remember doing when I was a pretty young kid, it was two horses in a pasture, a green pasture with clouds and sky and trees and stuff. So it was sort of a younger person. It was a big pattern to follow. No real big deal. Now, I'm not very skilled with a brush, and so I had daubs here and daubs there, but as long as I got the right color on the right place in the right square and stayed within the lines to a certain degree, then when I got done, everything was going to look pretty well. Now somebody who's really skilled at painting can do a paint by number and make it look amazing, all right? So the same way with the Word of God. Even if you don't know much about how to preach or teach, you can still spread the word of God and the gospel if you'll just stay within the lines. Just preach what you know to be the truth, all right? And the truth will save, because it's the truth and not you who's making the difference. But if you have a person who's really skilled with the Word of God, that person can do something really amazing with the Word of God as well and still stay within the lines. The whole idea is we've got to stay within the lines. If you're the most unskilled person in the world with the Word of God, you can still read it. If you can just read it, the Word of God will do the work for itself. All right, you just have to make sure you read it appropriately and properly. All right, so the whole idea is we've got to stay within the lines. We've got a whole world of so-called Christianity out there who refuse to stay within the lines. They refuse to listen to the Word of God, decided to interpret it their own way. But this is not about interpretation; it's about reading and understanding what Christ put there for us, and doing so to the best of our ability. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to make that happen. The Holy Spirit is not dwelling inside you. You are not going to be as skillful as you otherwise can be as you're spreading the gospel. It doesn't mean you can't spread the gospel and not have the Holy Spirit, but it's so much better if you do, all right? We must be sure to listen to Him very carefully. How do you listen to the Holy Spirit? Well, you listen to the Word of God very carefully. The Holy Spirit is speaking only through the Word of God. He doesn't whisper in your ear anymore. He doesn't tell you things like He used to tell in the first century. He just lets the Word of God stand, but He guides you through that. I believe that we can understand if we'll pray, the Holy Spirit will help us to understand the Word of God even if we don't understand it on the surface. He speaks to us through the Bible, the written Word of God, and through prayer, we should ask Him to guide us through His Word. If we have opportunity, we need to understand that He is the one who has the understanding. He searches the deep things of God. We saw that 2 weeks ago. He searches the deep things of God. He knows the insights and the deepest ideas and understanding of God, and He dwells inside of us to share that with us. So if we'll go through the Word of God, if we'll study very carefully, study very deeply, the Holy Spirit will aid us. If we'll pray to Him to help us understand, I'm sure that He'll help us to understand and properly preach and teach only God's truth, which is all we ever want to do. We only ever want to preach God's word, nothing else, right? So that's our charge today, and we want to make sure that we're faithful to that charge. Now, folks, that's the basis of the message today. I'm trying to keep everything short so nobody has to breathe through those masks any longer than you have to. So here we go. This is our invitation for today. Are you defending the gospel of Christ? If so, are you keeping to the plan? If so, are you guarding the treasure? Now, let's pray for you. Let us pray for you this morning if you would like us to, if you need some help with that. Let us pray for you that God will strengthen you and cause you to serve him faithfully. Just let us know either through the chat or if you want to write out a message and pass it in a little bit, we'll let you do that as well. And we want to pray for you. If, on the other hand, you may need some prayers for strength, maybe you're failing in some way or you're struggling in some way, and you know that you need the prayers of the congregation, we'll be glad to pray for you about those things. Whatever your needs are this morning, we'll need you to let us know that. If you need to be saved, there's only one way to be saved, and that's through baptism into Christ Jesus, by confessing his name before these brothers, repenting of your sins, turning away from that life of sin, being buried in the waters of baptism, raised up to walk in newness of life with the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside you. If you're ready for that, we're ready to help you with that this morning. The water's back there, and as far as I know, it's warm. It's maybe not the cleanest water in the world, but that doesn't matter. What matters is what God's doing to you, not what the water's doing to you. So if you're ready for that this morning, let us know as well. Whatever your needs are, maybe we can go ahead and stand and sing today. Let's go ahead and stand and sing here. If you're here, let's stand and sing. If you're not here, sit wherever you do whatever you're doing. But anyway, while you're here, stand and let's sing the appropriate song.